اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة ولياً وحافظاً وقائداً وناصراً ودليلاً وعيناً حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعاً وتمتعه فيها طويلا. والله if you haven't forgiven me up to this point in your blessed month, I ask you to please forgive me by the right of the best of your creation, Muhammad and all Muhammad, sallallahu alayhim ajma'in. Brothers and sisters, these are the last nights of the month of Ramadan. We will have to bid farewell for another year. Whatever we did and whatever we missed, inshallah, Allah grant us tawfiq to do more. Forgive the shortcomings and accept whatever was done. Ya Allah, I ask you not to allow me to go back to what I was before this month of Ramadan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma inni aftatihu thana'a bihamdik wa anta musaddidun lis-sawab bimannik. وأيقنت أنك أرحم أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يداه، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قديم، وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي، أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك. فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور، فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا رب إنك تدعوني فولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك، كأن لي التطول عليك فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. أرحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الأسباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني وبهجة منقة قد أراني فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم، وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين، سيدي شباب أهل الجنة، وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي، حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر، وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك، استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله، مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له، أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا، يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به، وانصره وانتصر به، وانصره نصرا عزيزا، وافتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا وأغن به عائلنا واقض به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وسد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به طلبتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وأعطنا به سؤلنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين اشف به صدورنا وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إله الحق آمين اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا فصل على محمد وآله وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله وبضر تكشفه ونصر تعزه وسلطان حق تظهره ورحمة منك تجللنا وعافية منك تلبسنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening of the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. One of the du'as that we have in the month of Ramadan that we try to do is a short one. I try to do parts of it at the beginning before we do dua al-iftitah. In it we say Allahumma rabba shahri ramadan alladhi anzalta fihi al-quran wa iftaradta ala ibadika fihi al-siyam salli ala muhammadin wa ali muhammad warzuqni hajj baytika al-haram fi aami hadha wa fi kulli aam واغفر لي تلك الذنوب العظام فإنه لا يغفرها غيرك. In this dua, there are a few pointers that are important for us to pay attention to, and it'll help us, inshallah, when reading this dua, to be able to perhaps make more of it. One is referring to Allah as Rabb Shahri Ramadan, the Lord of the month of Ramadan. Allahumma Rabb Shahri Ramadan. This is something, it's obvious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbu Sama'i wal Ard. He's the Lord of the heavens, or Samawati wal Ard. He's Rabbu al-Mashriqi wal-Maghrib, the East and the West. The Lord of time and space. The Lord of everything, Rabbu al-Alameen. Part of what's in and amongst all of this creation is the month of Ramadan, a lunar month that is repeated every year. He is the Lord of it. That's very obvious. But when we use that term, when we use, and we're told to use that and say that and refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as رب شهر رمضان, the Lord of the month of Ramadan, it is to remind us that this month that is Shahrullah, this month which is Ziyafatullah, the month of Allah and the time that we are all guests of Allah, all the spiritual things that happen, all the gifts and blessings that are there, the Rabb of it, the Lord of it, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that important for? Why is it important for us to remind ourselves of this? It is to remind us before asking what we are about to ask in this dua. We refer to him, we address him in that way. It's important to note that it's not the way we think of blessings lying on the ground and then we can come and take them. The way we look, if there's a dhiyafa, if someone has put out an invitation and you're invited, there's a feast set up on the table, and it's there. Once you're in, once you're invited and you're in, then you can go and pick out whatever you want and pig out as much as you want. That's how it works. That's the way we see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made and designed this material world to seem that way. The reality of the matter is that if this was a feast by Allah, if you're able to go and pick out certain dishes and like them and enjoy them and benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed you and has wanted you and has provided you with that exact meal, that part of the food that you went for, you took, and you enjoyed. The amount you were able to take from each of those, every one of those portions, and the way you enjoyed it, because those are two different things. You might have the best food, you might have selected some of the best dishes on there, but there might be a problem within your taste buds at the moment that you can't enjoy that taste. For example, you get excited about the food and everything that's there, and you take a sip of the tea in a rush without realizing how hot it is, and then your tongue gets burnt. Once your tongue gets burnt, you're just not going to enjoy as much as you would if you didn't have that on your tongue. And every bit of it, the internal part of that and the external, the feast, the foods, the dishes. Who else will go to that dish? What will they take? How manyth person are you? Which, there's going to be a line, people going to that feast to take whatever portion they want. What number do you have? And then Because of that, how much has already been taken? You're looking at that dish, you're eyeing it out, you're waiting to get there, and then before you get there, somebody else comes and takes the main part that you like. What's going to happen there? Or if Allah wants, no one will touch that part. They'll take all the other parts. When it gets to you, you're going to be taking it. All of that is by design. It's Rabbul Alameen. He is Rabbul Alameen. In the month of... Now that's generally a general idea that's there. In regards to everything, although it seems to us otherwise, it seems like no one's there, and then whoever goes and picks out whatever they want. But the reality of the matter is, for that night, that particular moment, others thinking of the same food as you, or not thinking of the same food, seeing the same food or not seeing it, all of those are involved. When you end up there, what timing you end up there, all of that is with the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran mentions this repeatedly. This is a general idea that's there. In this dua, obviously we are going to be asking for things from the blessings provided in the month of Ramadan, the spiritual blessings of the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbu Shahri Ramadan. He's the Lord of the month of Ramadan. He's told us that He's provided the spiritual feast, a time where the shayateen are chained up, the gates of the heaven and paradise are opened up, the gates of hell are shut down, and all those things that have been mentioned. This is describing what's there. But how much can I benefit? What can I take from this? What's the effect of any of that or all of that or which part of it on me? That's generally there. He says, I've provided that. What will I benefit from? He's Rabbul Alameen. I cannot benefit from what's there, from that spiritual meal that's there, that spiritual feast that's there, that dhiyafa which is there. I cannot benefit from it unless Rabbul Alameen, Rabbu Shahri Ramadan, wants me to. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want me to, it's there. Others will take that. Others will benefit from that. I won't, though. We want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for part of that feast in the month of Ramadan, the spiritual feast. We're told to start in this way, Allahumma Rabba Shahri Ramadan. Sometimes we feel that for spiritual accomplishments and progress, that if we do certain actions that are there, that are written, then we're going to have certain effects on us, not realizing that the cause and effect in that arena is also fully and 100% under God's control. I cannot make any progress whatsoever unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. This is repeatedly mentioned in the Holy Quran. You cannot be guided unless Allah wants. You cannot be misled unless Allah wants. It's important to note that. It's very important to note that. It's important on a lot of different levels. One of them, which is related to the dua, is that we ask Him. He's the one. I can't just go and take it. It's not under my control. Even if I take that, I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm not going to see the effects. I'm not going to see the blessings. Even if I do that prayer, if He lets me do the prayer, but He doesn't let me get the benefits of it, it's not going to work. I'll get involved with, God forbid, with riya, with sum'ah. And there'll be no effect to that deed. So I go to Him even for spiritual acts, for spiritual blessings, for spiritual benefits. Ask Him, Allahumma Rabba Shahri Ramadan. The other thing that we have here is what we ask. The first thing we ask is, Salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his salawat, his blessings upon the Prophet and his household, sallallahu alayhim ajma'in. This happens in many du'as, and I think we've discussed this before, but it's important for us to remind ourselves. I try to remind myself off minbar as well, that the prayer, the du'a for the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt is more effective than the du'a that we make for ourselves. If you just do a small analogy here, I think we repeated this hadith that we have, that a companion of the Imam was standing in Arafat at the best time and the best place on the day of Arafah in the plain of Arafat, where prayers and dua is accepted. He's standing there for hours just crying and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After it was over, the other companion that was watching him told him, "I've never seen anyone in this state." The man said, "Believe me, and I swear that I did not make one dua for myself." He said, "Why? You should have made dua for yourself." He said, "Because I heard the Imam say, if you make a dua for another brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person, and he will have an angel making that dua for you. I don't know if that dua is going to, my own dua will be accepted for myself, but that angel making that dua is going to be accepted. If praying for another brother is going to have this, for another sister is going to have this, what would the prayer and dua for the Imam, for the Prophet, for the Ahlul Bayt have as an effect?" Just, this is a very basic understanding. There was, I think, I don't know how many months ago, we had a session, I talked about salawat. The basic, again, that's also basic, but it's a little more than this brief explanation. There's a lot more to salawat than that. This brief dua that we have, that we're told to repeat daily, it's got a lot of blessings in it. So the first thing we ask is salawat upon the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. Making dua for the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt is going to have an enormous impact on us. Things that we can't even imagine. It's only hidden in the context or in the wording of salawat upon the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. Then we ask for ourselves, وَرْزُقْنِي حَجَّ بَيْتِكَ الْحَرَامِ. Asking for Hajj, I think we discussed that on Laylatul Qadr, the importance of that, the want, not the going. These are two different things. Wanting to go is one thing. Wanting to go every year is one thing. Actually getting to go is another. We're told to want to go for Hajj. And then lastly, that we have repeated, we should be repeating and thinking about this, is waghfirli, ghufran, waghfirli tilka dhunub al-idham fa innahu la yaghfiruha ghayruk. Forgive me of all those great sins that I have committed, because there's no one that can forgive those sins except for you, Ya Allah. The term used here is waghfirli tilka dhunub al-idham. I want to talk a little bit about this, الذنوب العظام, those great sins. Sins are, in a sense, all great sins. There is no sin that is not a great sin. Compared to one another, some we are told are worse than others, and not necessarily the ones we think. For example, the Quran says, "Al-fitnatu akbar min al-qatl." Fitna is worse than killing. From our perspective, we see killing worse than fitna. God says, no. "Al-fitnatu akbar min al-qatl." There are others as well. We have some hadith that suggests backbiting is worse than fornication. From our perspective, we think that fornication is a lot worse. We consider it a lot worse than backbiting. Backbiting is easy to do, and, you know, it's just saying something, a few words. But God said, no, that backbiting and ghibah is worse than fornication. All of them are great sins, and in comparison with one another, some we are told are worse than others. So that can be seen. However, The greatness of the sin depends on, when we're saying this, وَغْفِرْ لِي تِلْكَ الذُّنُوبَ الْعِظَامِ, part of it has to do with our understanding of it. If we realize what a sin is, whatever the sin may be, we'll realize how horrible it is. And to us, that'll be a great sin. You can see this in the words of prophets, in the behavior of prophets, of imams. Things that they considered great sins, to us, we can't even understand how that's wrong to do. We have trouble processing that as a wrong act. Because they don't go out doing, al-ayadu billah, the things that we do. The things that they're saying, oh, this, oh Allah, forgive me. It's this small thought that went on in their head. A thought process in their head, like, wow, this is a horrible sin, that Prophet thinks. If we realize what sin is, the disobedience towards Rabbul Alameen, as we have in Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, أَنَا الَّذِي عَصَيْتُ جَبَّارَ السَّمَاءِ, I'm the one who has disobeyed the sovereign, the power of the heavens. In his presence, while he is watching me, I disobeyed him. Everything he's given me, disobeying, that's a great sin. That's one thing to think about. In other words, we've got to see our wrongdoing as horrible, as الذنوب العظام. Not that, oh, you know, God, it was a small sin, please forgive it. No, وَغْفِرْ لِي تِلْكَ الذُّنُوبَ الْعِظَامِ. And then see more and more of the wrongdoing, even beyond what the ordinary muharramat are, the sins of the thought and the mind that we have been told in the Qur'an. See those as great sins. Lastly about that, there is a sin that the Quran says it is ظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. ظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. It's a great oppression, great form of ظُلْم. What is it? It's shirk. It's shirk. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. The Quran says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if we realize how much we are involved with shirk, in the way we deal with our surroundings, how we consider them to have independent power, independent of Allah, how I have independence from Allah. This is the way we see. There's a story, the Imam was walking by, Imam Sadiq salamullah alayhi in Medina, and there was a house, a wealthy person, he had a lot of people at his house, a party going on, he had slaves, they were making haram music and haram singing and all of that, it could be heard outside. The Imam was passing by and there was one of his slaves was outside. He said, is this person a slave or a free man? The slave said, oh, he's a free man. The Imam told him, oh, he's a free man, that's why he's doing this. The Imam meant it in a different way. And that slave went and had the conversation and told him, his master, that this is what Ja'far ibn Muhammad salamullah alayhi has said. He said, oh, he's a free man, that's why he did this. That shook him, that changed him. Oh, I see myself independent of Allah. I'm free of Allah. I'm not an abd of Allah. I don't see myself as an abd of Allah. I consider myself to be something independent. It's my choice to make myself the servant of Allah or not. I don't want to be the slave of Allah. The fact is, I am a slave of Allah, but I'm acting as a very disobedient slave to the extent that I don't even see myself as an abd of Allah. That is one of the greatest sins. This is shirk. Again, it's not a type of shirk that would make us non-Muslim, but it is a form of shirk that is dhulmun azim. We do have this. A prophet, God tells us, a prophet mentioned this. La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. I was of the zalimeen. I saw myself as something. I considered myself to have a right over you. That means I considered myself independent. And he said, inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. I've been a zalim. Allah, forgive me. And we ask Allah on these last nights of the month of Ramadan. It's too much for me to ask. Inshallah, you all can make this dua for me. I'll make it for you all. Ya Allah, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of Muhammad and Alu Muhammad, you forgive me all the sins of shirk and relieve all that shirk from my mind and from my heart. The ones that I do recognize and the ones that I still have not been able to recognize in my thinking, in my beliefs, in my actions, in my behavior, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and also our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers their hajat, their needs, their requests. And we ask him to relieve all of us and all people of the world of the oppressions they're facing.